So this lecture is called Sociobiology, the History of an Idea. We begin with the problem because many great ideas begin with a problem. And if you actually look at and think about evolution by natural selection, and if you really, really think about it and think about the implications of this idea, then you're confronted by a very curious problem. And the curious problem is, how can altruism be explained? Now, before we move on, we need to define altruism. Can someone define altruism for me? What is altruism? Alex? Being nice. Okay, anyone want to, that's good. Anyone want to try another? Sacrificing yourself for other people. Very good. In fact, if we look at the American Heritage Dictionary's definition, as you can see on my PowerPoint slide, it says, unselfish concern for the welfare of others, selflessness. In zoology, we actually have a special meaning, and I'll actually read this for you as well. Instinctive, cooperative behavior that is detrimental to the individual, but contributes to the survival of the species. So altruism is where you actually, you take a hit as an individual, but you're helping out someone else in your species, okay? And the problem is, how can natural selection, which is survival of the fittest, you know, that whole idea, how can altruism be explained by natural selection? Well, the idea that was proposed back in 1964 is called kin selection, developed by a British naturalist, mathematician, sort of biologist mathematician named William Hamilton. And what he said is this: if an organism sacrifices itself for another, as long as it shares genes with the other individual, there is a benefit, not to itself as an individual, but to the genes that they share. Does that make sense to you guys? Kind of get that? And so, yeah? Right. But it's actually more than that, as you'll see. Let me kind of unfold it here. So the bottom line, the reason it's called kin selection is because you're helping your kin. Some individual that is related to you genetically some way. Because you share genes in common with them, if even though you die, in your dying, if you help those genes that you share get to the next generation, then it's all good. And then you can kind of come up with, okay, I can see how this altruistic behavior might emerge through the process of natural selection. The test of any good scientific idea is evidence. So what is the evidence? Well, the existence of social insects can be well explained by kin selection. And just so you know, the social insects are in the order Hymenoptera, bees, ants, wasps, termites. Actually, one of these groups is not Hymenoptera, but I throw in Hymenoptera because most of these groups are Hymenoptera, not all of them are, but just that's kind of the buzzword. When people talk about social insects, they talk about Hymenoptera. Just be aware of that. And you can actually go do a little Wikipedia search and find out which of these groups is not Hymenoptera, okay? Which I should have cleaned up on my slide, but I haven't. And what's interesting about all the social insects is that they have well-developed caste systems. Everybody has a role. You've got like the workers and the soldiers and so forth. And the soldiers will just go out and sacrifice themselves. They will attack any, like, you know, ants, right? Soldier ants will go out and attack anything that's invading the colony. They will actually die. But what they're doing is they're allowing the individuals within their colony to perpetuate the colony because they all share genes in common. Now, The reason this works in social insects is because they have a unique form of reproduction called haplodiploidy. You guys all want to repeat that for me? Haplodiploidy? Right. And I'm not going to go into the math or the biology of how this all works. I do have a separate handout for you at the end of the period that I'll give to you if you want to read about this. Or you can just, you know, go do an internet search and read about it. But what it turns out is that, like, for instance, let's say honeybees, all the worker honeybees actually share, you know, normally if you're a sibling, you know, you have a sibling, a brother or a sister, so you share the common parents, that means that half of your genes are shared with your brother or sister, any brother or sister. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, because you both have the same parents. In the case of bees, you actually share more than half your genes with your sisters, because they're all sisters. And that's the cool thing about haplodiploidy. And because of that, there's a greater likelihood that you're going to show altruistic behavior. Okay? And so, you know, I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but what I'm trying to do this week in all my different lectures is to kind of just get you interested in stuff so you can go out and find out more about it yourself. I can't go into all the details because we just don't have enough time in this course. But suffice it to say, honeybees, for instance, they're all sisters, and they actually share greater than 50% of genes with one another, and therefore it would be more likely that kin selection would evolve in these sorts of organisms. So along comes E.O. Wilson, and he's this very smart professor from Harvard. And just to give you a little background on E.O. Wilson, he's still living right now, and in 2008. And he is he's probably one of the most famous living biologists. I mean, the only other one I can think that's just as famous, or probably a little more famous, is James Watson, who discovered the double helix structure of DNA. But they're probably the two most famous living biologists because they've been around for so long and they've done so many significant things. So anyhow, he's this very smart professor from Harvard, and he took up the idea of kin selection, and he really ran with it. Very interesting. So what he did is he realized that evolution by natural selection was essentially responsible for the behavior of insects. So he really was the one that took Hamilton's work and applied it to social insects, because the organism that he's most famous for working with during his entire life is the ants. He's really the world's number one expert on ants. And what he did is he actually went and took that a little bit further, and he said, well, if we can use Hamilton's idea of kin selection and apply it to, let's say, the behavior of insects, maybe we could just extend this even further and explain other organisms' behavior. You use natural selection. And so what he did, he actually did this, and he the result was what we call, you know, his magnum opus, his really greatest work. And that work is entitled Sociobiology. And here's a copy of Sociobiology. It's this big book. And it was published in 1975. And this is the actual original first edition copy. It's still in print. You can get it. And it's actually the most controversial book written in the last 140 years. Since The Origin of Species. So this book that I'm showing you right now is not trivial. It's very, very significant. And in fact, the writer and essayist Tom Wolfe, who's very famous, one of the most famous American writers, he's in his 70s as well, in an essay he calls Wilson Darwin II. Basically, he says, Darwin, or Wilson, is like the Darwin of the 20th century, essentially. That's what he was saying. So I'm just trying to say all this to give you sort of a sense of who E.O. Wilson is, because you probably haven't heard of him before, but he's extremely significant in biology. And what Wilson argues in this book is that at the root of all animal behavior is the driving force of evolution by natural selection. Now, this book wouldn't have been so controversial except who do you think he included in the last chapter of his book? Just take a wild, crazy guess. What do you think? Someone raise their hand. Yeah. No? Yeah. What? Nope. Who do you think was included in the last chapter? What group did he include in the last chapter of his book? What's that? Humans. Yeah, humans. He included us. And so began the sociobiology controversy. People went absolutely ballistic. Why? Why do you think people went ballistic when he put this in his book? Why would this be a problem? Emily. Okay, that's one idea. What else? What's another idea? Alex. Good. Our behavior, we don't have control over our behavior. It's all controlled by natural selection. Exactly. In fact, this idea that human behavior is nothing more than the result of natural selection acting on our genes has a name. We actually have a name for it. It's called genetic determinism. And it really seems to deny the idea of human freedom. Okay? And that really, obviously, is very offensive to people. And so this is why people got very upset with E.O. Wilson. Now, as for Wilson, he said that he was simply describing a theory. He didn't say this was a law. He didn't say it was a fact. He said, here's an idea worth pursuing. I see this happening in insects. I think I can explain it in insects. I see it in other animals. I think I can explain it, in other animals. So why not humans? But he didn't say it was a fact, but he did get people very upset. So what happened? So he's attacked by his critics. Who are his critics? You may be surprised. Stephen Jay Gould. So Stephen Jay Gould is a colleague. They both work in the biology department at Harvard University. Stephen Jay Gould and Richard Lewontin both are in the biology department, and they both were severely critical of E.O. Wilson, almost to the point of, sort of getting personal. It was more than just an attack on the book and the ideas. It kind of got personal. And it got so bad for Wilson that he was at a conference and some protesters who were in the back with signs and, they were chanting, they stormed the stage. And oftentimes at conferences, they'll have these pitchers of ice water. And they just took the ice water and dumped it all over Wilson's head. And they said, Wilson, you're all wet. And there was a time during the 70s that Wilson was actually a bit fearful for his life because people were really, really upset with what he had written. So what's Wilson's response? Well, he was honestly surprised by the response to his work. He couldn't believe that people would do this to, these are just ideas. This is just science. He's not, What's interesting is that almost simultaneously, another book was published, and this book was published in Great Britain. So this book I'm holding here called The Selfish Gene was published by a man named Richard Dawkins, and he basically says the same thing. And The Selfish Gene says, in this book, Richard Dawkins says that the population isn't really the unit of natural selection. The individual isn't the unit of natural selection. It's actually the genes that are the unit of selection, and that all that natural selection is acting on is the genes, and the genes just need to get into the next generation, and however they can manipulate the receptacle that they're in, the organism that they're in, just to get them into the next generation, that's all they need to do. So we are nothing more than a container for our genes, and whatever the genes need to do to change our behavior, our looks, our strength, or whatever it is, our intelligence, That's what they do, you know, in order to get us into the next generation. Now, I'm making this sort of anthropomorphic, but you get the idea that it's really natural selection acting on the genes, and then whatever's the result, and hence the selfish gene. Very interesting. So, but the thing about Wilson is he felt he was just doing science. He didn't feel like, you know, he didn't start this fire. And so now what I'm going to do is one of the more embarrassing things of that I do all year is there will be a few times during the year where I completely embarrass myself. And in fact, I'm podcasting this. I can't believe it. I should turn it off. But I sometimes will do song parodies. And so you guys may recognize an allusion here to a song by Billy Joel. So I change the words and I just a short little piece of the song. It's very, like 10 seconds. It's not very long at all. But it relates to what's going on here. And when I wrote this lecture, it just came to mind. I'm like, gee, this would be great for this lecture. So here's a few lines changed from Billy Joel's song and that relates to this particular topic. And I'm sure to embarrass myself. Okay, here we go. You guys ready for this? Mr. Hammock embarrasses himself. Here we go.
Stephen Joe takes a joke, selfish gene sandwich slip. I see water on my head, lots of people watching flip.
Okay, and that concludes my lecture.